Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, I don't have corona as far as I know, co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm not going to joke about that. I'm leaving that one.
No, it's not a joke. You don't have it, luckily, I hope. I mean, it's not a joking manner per se, but I mean... We got to poke a little bit of fun.
Yeah, oh god, yeah, you have to laugh at it, or else you'll go nuts with everything that's been going on. But I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yes. So with that, let's get things going right away.
Untap a keep and draw.
And before we get started tonight, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, with locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout, and we highly recommend you use their service. But we also want to take a second to thank our patrons as well. Walter and Ian are our Planeswalker level patrons, and Ian, I've spoke to him. He is going to send us a deck to go over this week so that we can set that stream up soon at some point. And Walter is going to be working with us to get a schedule synced up and get the technology under control for yours and his match doing a draft. So be looking out for those bonus Twitch stuff. Help, there's Walter in the chat right now. He's saying, hey, and since he's a patron, we put him up on the screen. we've got a lot to go over tonight, folks. It's going to be a jam-packed show. We're obviously going to be talking about the coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you're calling it this week. There's been cancellations galore. It's impacting Magic. It's impacting everybody's life. So we're going to talk about that. Our combat today is going to be an extension of that, talking about LGSs and if they should be firing local events, in our own opinion. And again, we're not, you know, slamming anybody with anything. In our second main, we want to talk a little bit about Arena, the Secret Lair Ultimate Edition, in other words, Fetchlands, and their complete and utter ripoff. Chandra's signature spellbook announced as well. And then it's finally happened. It's here. It's finally going to be there. We will discuss the 52-1 story that we have been hinting about for now 52 episodes. This was the deal I made with Aramis. And so we're going to talk about it tonight.
I've been waiting a long time for this.
About 52 episodes, yeah. Actually.
Closer to 60 weeks, right?
Yeah. Let's not shut up. So, and then we've got a few emails from listeners and things like that. So we've got a jam-packed show. In fact, let's get right into it, mostly because I forgot to go down and get a beer. We'll get right into
Main Phase.
All right, Main Phase. Welcome to Main Phase. We have got, first of all, we should really talk about, like, last week, man. Aramis, you weren't there.
No,
but I did go to Friday Night Magic, and it turns out it was the right time to go.
Oh, attendance was down?
Attendance was not terrible. I went with 7 guys, and I think they fired off 11.
Okay.
So we had, like, 5 tables. Well, they fired off 10. They had 10, so there were 3 or 4 other guys playing. And then after the first round, wouldn't you know it, somebody shows up and they let them in to do a loss. So then, of course, there are buys. And I'm sorry, that just buys are, I hate buys.
I'm guessing.
Mostly because I ended up with
I was going to say, I assume that means you got one of the buys.
Well, yeah, I rolled in with Teamer Clover. And Teamer Clover in a room full of mono red. And when I say full, I mean out of 11, 5 were running it. So there was half that room was running Teamer Clover. Or half that room was running mono red, either Cavalcade or the other kind, their Ember Cleave. So, yeah, game one, I ended up playing Cavalcade one, and we went 3 games, but it wasn't close. Game two, I got the freaking bye.
So I guess that means you lost round one?
Yeah, I lost one. Well, I lost round one handily. Ew. Yeah, for game one, I had it pretty under control, and then game two and three, he fired turn 5. There's wasn't much you could do.
Yeah, red can do that.
I ended up playing another mono red for round 3, and lost there again, mostly due to Mana Screw and not keeping the right hands. You know, that deck is...
It's not easy.
Well, it also... You get spanked if you don't know how to mulligan that deck right. Mm. And I kept a few... I shouldn't say that. I did really well... I did really well in the third round with starting to mulligan correctly. Like, the first one, I kept, like, a hand that had three lands but no clover. And I found myself just constantly a turn behind. I was dealing with things, but... You know, I'd have to use Fae of Wishes for turn four, but by turn four, they're way out in front, and I still don't have a clover to pull two cards out of, you know, my sideboard. So, I mean, I realized then, okay, it's better to go down. Oh, game one, I also ended up mulliganing down to literally four. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the new mulligan rules are nice, and it helps you, but yeah, if you mull that low, you're not winning.
There's no helping you. So no. It was, and then the last game I ended up playing, another mono red, and this one I did, or no, what did I end up playing? He was playing a different deck. Oh, he was playing a red black sacrifice deck.
Oh, yeah.
And he had me down pretty good, but I stabilized both times, and once I did, he was under. So I went 2-2, I got a pack, and I won a promo pack, and it was okay. It was a rough night all around. I pretty much decided that the next time I go back, I'm pretty much playing mono red from here on out. Mm-hmm. I mean, Temur Clover's good. It's just, it just, for that room with that much aggro, you pretty much, if you can't beat him, you got to join
him.
Well,
and again, I mean, Temur Clover is a difficult deck to play because it's really, you got to know when to wish, what to wish for.
Right.
It's tough. And you have to be very aggressive with your mulligans. So
it's
a lot of decision making before you even start the game.
Yep. And that was definitely, you know, something I saw. So. It was a fun night though. I had a good time with it. So, but it's kind of funny because this takes us to our main topic, because at the end of the day, we're at this point now where that turns out to be the last, Friday Night Magic there for a while.
Yeah.
Steve came out over the weekend and basically, I think it was last night, and said basically that, Kerwin's is going to suspend in-person events for a while.
Yep, all organized play.
Yep. Which, you know, that impacts not just Magic, but they do a lot of 40K and Sigmar and all the other stuff. And I'm assuming, and a lot of the Switch stuff. And, you know, they do a lot of on-site LAN parties. So that's a big deal. That's a big hit for him. He's, you know, if you've never been to Kerwin's, they run their store is a dual storefront. They own two stores. Because, you know, they have one whole area dedicated to play and then the other to retail. Their retail store is open. So if you're in the local capital region, I do encourage you. I mean, and yes, hashtag sponsored, we'll be honest here. But, I mean, definitely patronize their store. Patronize all of your LGSs.
All
of,
yeah, especially, all gonna take especially now, stay away from the big box stores. Go to your local game stores and buy stuff because they need it more than ever.
Yeah, they're going to, because I mean, well, it all started last week after our show Monday. Tuesday, the fit hit the Shan, and they start, you know, it came out, Wizards was like, or Channel Fireball came out and said, we are canceling all in-person events.
Yeah,
we,
they canceled like just, the next, what, four or five Grand Prix?
Yep, four or five Grand Prix were canceled.
Oh, I'm sorry, Magic Fest.
Magic Fest, whatever you want to call them. You know, Discotheques or whatever the hell they are this week.
Bibliotheques.
Yeah, so they've canceled those. And then right on their heels, SCG came out and said they're canceling the regionals in Syracuse and one other place, I think Philly, mm-hmm. With more probably to follow, and it's pretty much assured they're going to be.
Yep.
And then, you know, Wizards came out and even said they put out a big press release that they're changing all of their play tours and things of that nature. They've 100% canceled the Mythic championship.
Well, I'll see if I can find the actual article, but they canceled Players Tour Houston, or they moved it to Seattle or something like that.
Yeah, which Seattle's a hot spot. I don't know why you'd move it to Seattle, but
here it is. Channel Fireball is going to assess it on a case by case basis. Blah blah blah. They're canceling Players Tour Houston, the finals in Houston. They're rescheduling and relocating the upcoming round of regional Players Tours. They're going to add an online regional Players Tour event option for players who aren't able to go or choose not to attend an in-person event, which I think is cool. They're canceling the Mythic Invitational that was supposed to happen in May. and they're going to be doing travel reimbursements for qualified players with the non-refundable, non-transferable flights to the impacted PTs. And there was also another event, I think, that was supposed to happen in Charlotte. Yeah, okay, the rescheduling. There was an event in Copenhagen at the end of April that's going to be moved to Prague at the end of May. We'll still see if that actually happens.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be an event in Charlotte in the middle of May that's being moved to Seattle at the beginning of June, which I doubt that will happen.
Right.
And they're also looking for a replacement venue for Kitakyushu in May. And then there is going to be an online event in Arena in June for people who aren't able to attend another one of those events. So there's a lot going on.
There's a ton going on.
They're being very smart, though, with this, just by saying, listen, let's just take a step back. Let's just shut this all down and wait this out.
Well, and that's just it. You know, it's damaging, though.
Oh, huge.
I mean, it's, on one hand, I when I say it's damaging, I don't just mean to, you know, Magic the brand or anything like that. Everything that's going on right now, though, I mean, is damaging to Magic as a whole. Because at the end of the day, there isn't any of these I mean, with the school closings going on, with now New York State has basically said restaurants are all takeout. Movie theaters are closed. Any place where a gathering of more than 50, and it's going to turn to 10 because that's what the U.S. That's what the president said today, is going to close. You know, all this stuff, they basically said everything needs to be shut down.
Yeah.
Like, they're not mandating it per se because I don't know that they can. But
not yet anyway.
Yeah, but they will. And the fact is, I mean, it's all about containment, really, of, you know, at the end of the day, us younger people, and when I use me, you know, in quotation marks, but us younger people, I mean, we're at a little bit of a safer advantage, but even I have an immunally compromised wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this sits in my head.
Yeah.
Going out and doing things. I'm like, holy crap, I could bring this stupid thing home. She checks out, and, you know, now I got to find a date to the funeral. I mean, it just, you know. But
where are the crickets? We need crickets.
Yeah,
on that
right.
One.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, but is this better? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, we all have to be, you know, we're all inconvenienced at this point. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. But I mean, people are out of work, especially the lower income tier of people out there. Hey, Aaron, how are you, buddy? He's speaking of Kerwins. So,
well, like, and one of the things that is kind of frustrating about this is that, yes, everything is closing. You know, people are being encouraged, strongly encouraged, or ordered in some cases to stay at home.
Right.
And there's people that are out there that are basically saying, oh, this isn't a big deal. Why is everybody overreacting to this? And you know what?
Listen,
I would rather they overreact and not need it than underreact and go, oh, crap, now we have 5,000 sick people and our hospitals can't handle it.
See, I am definitely one of those people. I was sitting there for the longest time going, this is an overreaction. I think I even might have said it last week. I know I said it in a few of the podcasts I do for the patrons. I was like, this is a heavy overreaction. This is, you know, it's all going to pass over. But listen, the fact is, I think as a culture, we're Americans, okay? We're not used to this anymore. Our grandparents dealt with it, all right? The polio scare in the 40s and 50s, you know, and the war, World War II, and coming out of the Depression. Our whole thing is, you know, we haven't as a country had to deal with anything like this for some time. The closest I think we would come would be 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, there was
as far as impactful to our daily lives.
Yeah, I mean, there was a brief scare about, like, you know, SARS or the swine flu, that something like that was going to really do a lot of damage. I don't think that ever really materialized in the same way. But obviously, 9/11 was the last real big thing where everyone was walking around with this feeling of, what's going to happen next? What am I supposed to do? What's going on? A lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. I can tell you one thing, there's probably going to be a lot of people, you know, seeking help for this sort of thing. And if you do need help, in all seriousness,
take it, go get it.
Even if it's over the phone, video chat, whatever it is, it's always good to talk to somebody, you know, take that stuff very seriously because it can spiral real fast.
Well, it's not just that. All right. Think about it though. Okay. It's Like when I was taught, when I, you know, in our notes here, guys, and I mean, I'll pull the curtain back on our show a little bit. We run a Google Doc where we keep our show notes, and it's on our one of our screens, each of us, you know, and I have in there, what will this do for magic, loss of incomes, et cetera. I mean, for something like Wizards of the Coast, which is 100% a recreational expense, you know, none of us need to do this like you and I do now because we're content creators. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, nobody really needs to. Oh, my gosh. Does this mean we could write this off? Like if we buy pack. Hey, all right. You know, from a certain standpoint, I mean, the Wizards is going to take a hit because if people are out of work, and again, like, you know, it cardboard crack is expensive. Don't get me wrong, but it also, I mean, it's not so cost prohibitive that it's only available for people in, like, you know, really high paying jobs. I mean, there are some people out there working retail that are real Magic players, and you know. And they have the ability to do that, whether it's because they live at home or because they have some sort of arrangement worked out, or they just manage their money a certain way, and they really put a priority on magic. Here's the thing, okay, restaurant workers are in trouble. Yes. Retail workers are in trouble, believe it or not, because they don't want as many of us in the stores. And, you know, yeah, they've got the grocery delivery and stuff, but, I mean, they're going to start cutting back shifts soon. They're or make everybody work overnight to restock. You know, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, look at Kerwin's. I mean, look at how many people he employs. Mm-hmm. And to have that many people, I mean, he's moving to a retail-only model for a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
What does that do to hit? Yeah.
Could be like, furloughs and layoffs.
Yes. This is scary, you know, and it is scary, that stuff. And, you know, it's going to lean in. At one point in combat, we'll talk about, you know, things we think of. But as far as, you know, maybe what we would like to see happen, what we believe should happen. But, I mean, there's no way around it, okay? You know, magic is going to take a severe hit on this. And it should, you know? I don't think it's any coincidence that we were hot and heavy with a secret lair every 6.7 seconds for about, a month and a half, 2 months. Then all of a sudden, this stuff started happening where they started closing things and making a big deal of this. Haven't heard too much about a secret lair. In fact, the furthest one out is like mid to late May.
Yeah, but the one that they did announce, we'll talk about that one.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Timing was unfortunate. Obviously, just a coincidence in the way that it worked out. Right. But, you know, places are going to take a hit, like you said. But they will eventually, most places, I believe, will bounce back. I would not be surprised if there was not at least one or two stores in the country, in the U.S. at least, that closed their doors because of this. Because the profit margins are so razor thin with LGSs, any disruption, major disruption in business is a death blow to a lot of these places.
I'm going to go so far as to say there'll be one or two in the capital region. I think it's going to be bigger than that.
Okay.
If this is prolonged, which, you know,
it could be.
Originally it was, you know, mid-April, and then we're going to reevaluate, and then, you know, you've got, you
now
know,
they're talking August.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that happens, I mean, obviously, we're not all going to stay quarantined until August.
No.
I mean, the idea that we're all going to socially separate until August is absurd. That's not going to happen.
Well, a quick aside, someone that will benefit from all of this, and we're obviously included in that, is going to be content creators, people who are on Twitch, people who put out YouTube videos, because people are going to need stuff to do, because you can only binge watch so much Netflix.
No, you can't. Like, dude, there's plenty.
Well, you're right. But, you know, you got to get away from that and watch Twitch and watch some watch some podcasts live. Shameless plug.
Monday nights. I'm 100% in agreement. It's just, I take a look at this stuff here and what's happening, and it boggles my mind, you know, and I hear people being upset, and some are saying it's an overreaction, some are saying it's an underreaction. I definitely think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. You know, I was one of the, like, this is an overreaction. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm somewhat cynical when it's an election year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, and the last time we had one of these was about 2 years ago during, you know, the Senate and midterm election year. And then 2 years before that, during an election year. You know, I mean, there is some part of me that looks at this and goes, okay, politics, I mean, political stuff aside, is this what we're looking at? I no longer believe that, okay?
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of wonder, okay, so you sit there and say during the SARS epidemic or the swine flu epidemic or the bird flu epidemic or, you know, the Chattahoochee epidemic that swept the nation 8 years ago. During all those epidemics, should this stuff have been done, and was it not done because of administrations or an inability for people to work remotely? Because this is impacting that. Hmm. I can't answer that question. I do think that, yeah, we're going to get through this. It's going to go away. But I do think they're not going to be so slow to pull the trigger next time. I think the Band-Aid has come off. The seal's been broken. This might be what we see going forward.
And this disease does seem to have a pretty good knack at getting around.
Right.
You know,
and
so.
It does. It is scary for old people.
Yes.
Okay. It is scary for people with pre-existing conditions like my wife. And so I'm treating this very seriously, as serious as it can be. She's going to continue teaching, but she runs an individual studio. She's going to have her people be like, she's like, you come, but I need you to pick your kid up 5 minutes before the end of their lesson so that I can again swab everything down and they can't touch anything. Mm-hmm. They're coming in doing this. She's like, and she's probably going to wear a mask, which won't stop much, but
yeah.
You know, and if we see more in our area, we haven't seen one yet. I think once we see one, we're working on an online learning thing and things of that nature too.
Yeah, like
for
myself personally, they closed my son's school for the next week and a half.
They've closed. Where'd you go? You're gone.
I'm still here. You left. Can you still hear me?
Well, it's just my show now. All right. Thanks for watching. There's absolutely no 52-1 story to talk about. The 52-1 story is not happening tonight because Aramis isn't here. Shoot.
Nice. Hi. Nice try.
I didn't do it. That was you. That was you. What, did you close the window?
No, I didn't touch anything.
You sure?
I'm totally sure. I'm still just sitting here. Anyway, like I was saying, they closed my son's school for the next week and a half. I think there was a... Yeah, I know this, Walter. This was pretty funny. There was, I believe, our governor. We live in New York, so Governor Cuomo, he's ordering all New York schools closed for the next 2 weeks, starting on Wednesday.
He's ordered, till
end of the March 31st. Yeah. So.
Yep.
And you know, there's a couple of cases in the county where I live, and who knows how much more that'll come. Some people have said that we're about a week and a half behind where Italy is right now, and that if we don't get our crap together, we're going to be right where they are. Which, you know, that's terrifying. You see the reports coming out of Italy. They've locked that country down.
The problem is ventilators. The problem is...
There's only about 100,000 ventilators, and we could need millions.
Right. But the thing of it is that, you know, lucky for us, like, we live a little rural, like I said, so we don't have anything here yet.
Somewhat, you're...
The minute it hits.
We're somewhat insulated, but when it hits, we're going to be in trouble.
Right.
And it's probably
going to be... Up here in the North Country, we just don't talk to people. But... I mean, so we're there. It's impacting everything. And again, I mean, I have to be careful, you know, at work. I'm really looking at the possibility of working home half days and, you know, being like, you know, go in for 4 hours, be on site and then come home. I haven't talked to anybody about this yet, so it's unofficial. But, you know, that those are options that I'm trying to consider to be like, I still need to be productive. I'm a department of one. I'm the only IT person in this place. So I can't like just go in quarantine and be like, haha, see you, sucker, unless we're sick.
To, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I can't afford it because my wife's been sick for the past month, that even though I've got some FMLA and, you know, my job's protected, the last thing I want to do is burn through my entire vacation and sick leave, you know, and then get sick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at this point I'm kind of at the, you know, I'm at the, I still have to go to work. I still have to be productive and, you know, we're figuring it out, but you know, be that as it may, a lot of people don't have that alternative and that choice. And I'm blessed to feel like I've got it. You know, like you said, you're going into work what, half days, right?
No, I'm going into work. Period.
Oh, okay.
I don't really have the option not to because I work in fiscal. So
can't they give you like remote access though, a VPN or something? Or?
I think it's the way that their server is set up or something. I don't know. They're giving us reasons. The biggest reason is because I print checks.
Ah.
I handle money. I handle money, yeah. I handle paying people, so, you know, pulling back the curtain way back into our personal lives. But
right.
I'm the one at our job that cuts the checks that pays to keep the lights on. So
oh dear.
If I don't go to work, bills don't get paid. Now, can my supervisor do that job? Absolutely.
But should they?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, it's we're still figuring it out. We still haven't actually gotten an official announcement from our leadership at my job. They've been meeting all day today. I think they're going to be meeting most of the day tomorrow before they come out with guidance. I know they're shutting part of the agency down. They're encouraging people to work from home. They're locking the doors during business hours so people can't come in because it's sort of a walk-in area where I am. So,
okay.
You know, they're taking some precautions. They may take more precautions. But in the meantime, it's business as usual for me, which is extremely inconvenient because, again, my son is home. Now, my wife can work from home some of the time from her job, but they're giving her an issue about that, too. So, you know, it's really tough, and we're trying to figure it all out, and we will, and we'll get through it. But in the meantime, you know, it's super depressing to talk about this. So can we just talk about some magic for a while? I know we're going to we're still leading into this still. It has it's still going to be related to this, but I know that a lot of our listeners are really probably hoping to get away from this for a little while, so I think we should probably
Well, I mean, you know, then you got Walter. Walter just put it up here and I'm trying to get to it and all my Yeah, it is a very, very scary thing to go through. And I mean, you know, it's our combat's going to kind of, we can go into combat and we want to talk about that because I do feel that it, you know, this is a conversation that should be had. And then I'd like to never discuss it again. I mean, we're all going to be home for a while at some points.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is that. And, you know, but let's, you know, let's get into combat and.
Combat phase.
Okay, so combat phase. I want to kind of talk about. Like why, what, you know, we believe, and this is our personal opinion, and we have people that we know at game stores all over, and this is not a slight to them at all, because at the end of the day, they're a small business owner. So I understand it.
They got to keep the lights on.
But, you know, my question is, the combat is, should LGSs be trying to fire, you know, in-person local events, you know, today? And, you know, I'm going to take the lead on this. No. I get the need. I know that one of the local stores around me is going to try to fire things off, and they're going to, he's, you know, the guy said, you know, everybody's got to wear gloves and everybody's, you know, I'm going to be, you know, bathing the place in bleach and no sharing of dice. If we do a draft, no shit, you know, bring your own lands, make sure you have enough lands, you know, that sort of thing. And that's, those are great precautions, and that's not to slam them. I do know that another store here hasn't made up a decision because I reached out to people today. I'm like, what are you doing? Because I want to talk about this. I feel that this is an important conversation to have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other store reached back and they said, we really haven't decided yet. We're still trying to figure out which way is up, which way is to go. You know, Kerwin's, obviously, we already talked about it. They've suspended all in-person play. And I feel that's the best way to go. Not just from a, you know, hey, let's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we got to keep everybody safe. But I also think that there's a level of solidarity that comes with that. And an idea that, you know, we need to be like, we need to be encouraging people to stay home. You know what I mean? Like we shouldn't be firing events because we should be saying to people, look, don't go out like at all possible. Stay home, go to the store, get what you need, go to work. If you got to go to work, if you got to like treat it like it's a terrible snowstorm and be like, if you got to go out, you got to go out. There's nothing we can do about that. But if you don't have to go out, don't go out, you know, and by firing off, you know, events, it just, and again, I see the other side of it. These people have rent that they have to pay to, or, you know, mortgage it for their shop that they have to pay, you know, and they have vendors that they have to pay and they have staff that needs money. And I see the business side, and I also still see the other side, and I just feel like the other side kind of trumps it, and I know that may be wrong of me, but I kind of am curious about your thought.
I mean, you know, we've been talking about this all episode so far. It is the giant sea rhino in the room. What Kerwin's is doing is the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Leave, you know, the store can stay open pending further developments.
Right.
Organized play shouldn't happen. There is another store in the area, in the Albany area, that I know that is still firing FNMs. I disagree with that. I mean, and especially the store in your area that's going to fire but have, like, gloves and all the cleaning and everything.
You're still sitting a foot. We're supposed to be 6 feet away from everybody.
Yeah, you're not.
And you're sitting a foot and a half away from somebody.
Yeah, the buzz phrase of the month is social distancing, and an FNM is not social distancing. Even if it's a small 8 to 10 person FNM, you're still going to be within the 6 foot bubble that everyone's supposed to be setting up for themselves. I think at this point, events shouldn't be firing. if stores should try to stay open if they can, even if it means, you know, you have to queue up to go in to buy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little extreme, but I mean, like you're saying, you know, these people have bills they have to pay. They have, and their profit margins are razor thin. They basically make their money on singles.
And I get that too, but there's the other side of it too, in that, you know, I think these stores need to be leaders of, you know, they are small business owners, and you want your store to become so popular that it is a community leader, mm-hmm. to use, you know, and it's a terrible buzzword to use, but you're also, you know, if you move into this community leader role, you're saying, hey, you know, it's okay to come out and patronize businesses because this isn't that big of a deal. You know, I get it. Again, yeah. I understand, though, that there's another side to that.
Yeah, they have to keep the lights on. They have to do what they need to do to survive, because, you know, a lot of these people, they have all their savings tied up in these stores. And if it goes down, they go down. And that's hugely unfortunate. You would never want that to happen. Obviously, this is an extremely rare circumstance. I mean, we haven't had too many global pandemics that we've had to talk about in the last 100 years. Two, maybe three.
And it's a personal thing.
Very personal. Yeah.
I get it. And in fact, here, you know what? I'm going to put this on the screen. Steve just sent me an IM in Facebook. He's like, this is our playroom today. So
yeah. I'm guessing there's nobody there.
There it is. That's the Kerwin playroom as of today.
Yeah, and you know, tables are folded up. There's normally tables all along. If you're watching on the stream with us, there's normally tables all along the left side of that room. And I don't know about Monday nights, but most nights they run events. Almost every night, I think, except for Wednesday night, they run an event or two every single night. So you can imagine how much business they generate from the events that they run. And for them to be like, listen, we got to shut this down because this...
And the tertiary benefits of, you're here... How many nights have we gone on a Friday night and going, oh, I need at least 3 cards. I got to pick up cards to, you know, I might as well get them there. And, you know, that's why they fire them off. And again, I get it.
Yeah. And for some people, this is the only escape that they get from their lives.
Yeah.
Is to go to the local game store.
And that's where, that's the other thing I was going to say of is that, like, let's face it. We're going to call a spade here. We're geeks, guys. We're nerds. We ain't exactly the most socially non-awkward people we've ever met.
We ain't rolling up to the club anytime
soon. All right.
Soon.
So I get that for a lot of people, this is their only in-person social interaction. And you know what? That means that they're going to value it a lot higher. I value going on Friday nights a lot higher. We knew about this last week. I still took 7 students. Why? Because I want to take the kids, you know, and get out and play a little magic on a Friday. And because I had a feeling this was coming. The fact is, though, I think trying to fire off events at this time, especially when Wizards has come out and said, listen, we're not going to hit you with the penalties for anything, you know, is, you know, there's going to be no WPN penalty. There is going to be no, you know, they're trying to encourage people to be like, listen, don't do this. What I'd like to see them do is that I actually sent an email off to a few stores today of like an idea. I'm like, listen, if they'll let you use like the play, you know, the tournament software, you know, go on Discord, create 10 chat rooms that are called table 1 through 10.
Well, they have
guys sign up on Arena, pay you $7 in Venmo for prize support that they can get afterward, which will drive traffic to your store. Yeah. You know, like, you could still do Friday Night Magic, just make them play Arena.
And there is that companion app that they've been working on that allows people to run tournaments locally, you know, in their own little area. And there's our sponsor right there. He's in the stream tonight. So I'm glad that, you know, hashtag sponsored aside, I'm glad that Kerwin's took that opportunity to keep people safe. Because really, honestly, just
Ricky
2 weeks
says
ago,
it best.
Well, two weeks ago, what were we doing? Covering a gigantic event with 150 people. And all it would have taken, because they were coming from all over the area, one person, if they were infected, would have infected that entire
Onondaga County has Oswego County and Onondaga both have. Yeah. And we know that there were people from Oswego County there.
Yeah, so it's entirely possible that someone that was there may have had the coronavirus. It's just it's a fact of life right now. You know? It's a fact of life that all it would have taken is one person, and then 150 people would have been exposed. They would have brought that home to their family, and all of a sudden that's 1,000 people that are exposed. And you see how quickly this stuff can spiral.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I get it. Again, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to run their business. This is your business and you know what your books are. And so, and I mean, don't, I have an immunity compromised wife. There's no way I'm showing up. Like, there's just none. I wouldn't be able to do it at this point. And be the head of household, you know, forgive me. I don't mean to sound like a misogynistic prick, but you know, I consider myself, you know, a head of household. Like, I couldn't stand next to my wife and say, I'm going to protect you and keep you safe. You know, oh, by the way, I'm going to go and play Magic on a Friday night and sitting across from, you know, six someone other guys. Yeah. I can't do it. So
I totally applaud all the stores who have decided to close. I also do applaud the stores that decide to keep running events, but to take necessary precautions. I do think if they're doing something, if they're just running events to run events, I think that's wrong, flat wrong. And I don't care what people say about that. If you're running events, but you're really trying to do what you can to keep people safe, okay. I mean, I'd rather you didn't run the event, but you're taking precautions. That's okay. I can deal with that.
And Steve says it best. Go to the websites.
Yeah.
Don't forget Kerwin's Game Store, Planestalkers promo code. Yeah, 5% off.
They deliver.
But, you know, go to the website. And this is what I mean, is that most are keeping, if they stop firing events, I have a feeling nobody's going to shutter their doors because that's insane. You're still paying rent. You're still paying electric.
Unless they're ordered to do so.
Right. So, you know, patronize the store as much as you can. Take precautions, obviously. Like, you know. But
if you can order online, order online.
Absolutely.
Ship to you. Even if it's just picking up at the store, you pop in, you pop out, you don't touch anything else, you don't talk to anybody else. Say, hey, that's my order. Thank you. Bye.
Yes.
That works.
Absolutely should do that. You know, order stuff online. Go to the stores directly. You know, do whatever you can to support those businesses to keep them around through this time because it is going to be a time. There is going to be, you know, it's going to be impactful. There's no way around it. But I mean, I guess there wasn't much combat tonight. We're both kind of on the same page.
Well, it's a united front for something. We're combating this virus. Everybody, please wash your hands. Stay safe.
Right. Wash your hands. You know, drink Purell.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, do a couple shots of Jack Daniels. Everything will be fine.
Install a bidet in your toilet so you don't have to buy 6 cases of toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. For God's sakes, you know what? We're going to get the explicit one this week. Stop fucking hoarding stuff.
Whoa. All
right? I'm sorry. If you're going out there and you're trying to stock up and hoarding food and toilet paper, stop right now.
Oh, my God.
Especially you sons of guns who are selling it on Amazon for trying to sell freaking Purell for $25. I hope you all get cancer, Parkinson's, and then die in fire.
Wow.
Jeepers.
Whoa. I'm
sorry.
Whoa.
And by the way, not a drop tonight. This is just me.
Whoa. I mean, I agree, except, geez. Okay.
I don't wish cancer or Parkinson's on anyone.
Yeah,
but,
no.
God, I mean.
Yikes. Yeah.
Oh, and our sponsor's in here. Well, that was fun while it lasted.
Nice job, Benson.
No sponsor. All right, moving on.
Let's have some fun.
let's get into main two. We got some other stuff we're going to go over.
Main phase.
All right, main phase two. Wow. We got some great stuff to go over. First of all, we always like to talk about Arena. Arena's been kind of okay. Like, they released the Historic Anthology 2, and we basically just realized that, you know, Historic Anthology 2 came out. First of all, better cards. I think we can all agree on this. There were better cards in this. What do you think?
Yeah, there were a better selection. I mean, I haven't played a single game in Historic, so I really don't know what kind of impact they're going to have on the meta. But, I mean, they released some powerful stuff. Yeah. I mean, Pack Rat is good.
Yeah.
Pack Rat's a good card, amazing. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. There's a lot of good stuff in this release.
Don't buy the whole pack. Get the cards you need.
Get the cards you need, you know, unless you somehow decide you're playing everything at once, but get the cards you need.
But yeah, so they did that. This weekend event was the Erebos event was a Historic Brawl, which I failed at miserably. Did not even get one of the cards, so I'm okay with that. But it was Historic Brawl. It was okay, you know. It was okay.
Full disclosure: I actually have not played Magic since Wednesday.
Wow! Well, yeah, and you're a host. This is good content creation.
Creation, right there. Well, sometimes you got to take a step back.
Sure, you don't.
I was saving it for what's coming up.
Yeah, well, oh, look at the time. Oh, we got to go. Oh,
oh no,
a
you
short
don't.
Show tonight.
No, you don't.
So, I mean, Historic Brawl was okay. I did enjoy playing a little bit of it. I mean, it was nice to have Teferi Hero out and stuff like that. It was fun-ish. You know, I built a Vampire Brawl deck, and it did okay, but it lost a lot, too. And Brawl's an interesting meta. It really is. It's,
yeah.
It really is kind of tough to kind of navigate, but I'm trying to work my way through it. It's weird because it's not free, so you feel like you can't really tune very well. You can't tune decks very well because you only get to play one day a week unless you do the MTG Brawl Arena there.
Don't
which is,
do that.
What, no, I like it. I no, do, the, no the, don't pay the... Yeah, no, don't pay.
Don't pay.
No, the... What was it? MTG Arena Brawl or something. There's a website where it'll match you up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Arena... I forget what it was. Brawl.
ArenaBrawl.net or something.
Yeah.
So I definitely reckon... You know, that was fun. But, I mean, it's a little... It's a little rough to find a match if they're, you know, if there's not a lot of people on, you're kind of sitting there waiting for you to get matched up. So, you know, it goes either way. But Historic Brawl was okay. And then we got the announcement of what we, you know what? I hate that I have to say this. Yes, son of a gun, you were right.
Mm-hmm. I hate that I was right.
You do. Oh,
by the way, I hate that I was right. Well, here's the thing. So Wizards announced one of their... Oh, here it comes. Poor horse.
Yeah, we're just beating that horse to death.
Oh, boy. Wizards announced yet another secret lair.
Yes.
This one will be coming out...
May-ish?
May-ish. So, it's the enemy fetch lands. Which,
yes. Which is the ones you want.
Which is the ones I wanted. And I was saying, if they were going to reprint the fetch lands and it wasn't going to be in a standard set, it was going to be in a secret lair. So when I was first reading this, I was like, oh, yes, enemy fetch lands. All right, that's great. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be great. I can get it for like $50. And then I read the rest of the article and then the follow-up, and I found out it's something different.
It's very different. It's
not
horrible.
Really a secret lair. It's called Secret Lair Ultimate Edition. So,
yes, because we want to justify tripling the price.
Yeah, case in point. So what they're doing is...
But, you know, the aftermarket doesn't exist.
Secrets and lies. Secrets and lies. So what Wizards is doing is these are going to be the first secret lairs that are going to be released to your local game store and only available at your local game store, which initially you're like, oh, great. That's awesome. I can just run to my store and get one. But they're only maximizing 10 per store.
That's insane.
And there is no MSRP, but the suggested... What people are thinking the price is going to be is around $165
for five cards, not a playset, not 20 cards,
and they're not even foil. They're not even foils, and I mean they're alternate art. It's cool,
and but, yeah, Scalding Tarn is worth $100 itself. I get it.
Well, I think it's down to like $70, but still,
yeah.
I mean, okay, so they're going to release later in the year, probably. I'm guessing around December. They're going to release this sort of again in bundles, where if you get the whole pack, you get an additional random fetch land. And it's going to be like the typical secret lair where it's an unlimited supply for 24 hours, da-da-da-da. But I'm disappointed. I was hoping that they would make it...
It's BS.
Yeah, I was hoping... Okay, I understand that the fetch lands are worth a lot of money. But if there's technically no secondary market, you can charge whatever you want for this.
Yeah.
And they chose the option of saying, we're going to pretend that we don't know what the prices of these are, but we actually know what they are, so we're going to charge that.
And I understand, too, that
you are technically getting a discount.
I understand, too, that they might have talked to store owners. And don't forget, I mean, a store owner having a Scalding Tarn that sat in his case that he may have paid, you know, $60 back when it was first, you know, when it was $120 or $80 when it was $120 or whatever they pay. Okay. If they release the Fetchlands too cheap,
yes,
they're taking a loss. And I get, again, they don't admit that there's an aftermarket, but at the end of the day, they're in business relationships with stores. I understand that. However, the other side of that is, you know, you also can dictate, you know, this is supposed to be a different type of card. It's going to have different art, you know. And Steve's saying here, because he's, you know, Steve's our guy. He runs a store, you know.
up to 10 based on a metric I don't even know yet. Premium stores can get slightly more, I believe. And that's the thing. It's like them releasing it to the local game stores, I thought was a great idea.
So do I. If they had gone just mail order, I'd have been annoyed.
Like, you know,
and I would have said, release them to the stores.
You give the local game store a very limited window to order as many as they can get their hands on, because you know they're going to get snapped up. And whatever you don't sell, you can then sell on your website.
Right.
You know, and then there's no MSRP. So at that point, if you need to mark it up a little bit because there's only four left, then, okay, that makes sense. But you charge like $75. Even if it was like $75, I don't think I would have been as upset. I mean, that's still a massive discount for what they're worth. But since you're doing it directly to the local game stores and they're being printed, they're right. not having to buy them first. You know, I don't know. I'm glad that they're doing it later in the year. I'll probably do that because honestly, the fetch lands are one of the biggest things from keeping me from playing modern.
Right, but a full playset, and if they only get 10, that means you can only sell two full playsets. That's the problem I've got is that, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want one. You know, I want four. I have one. I need three more. You know, it's like, look. I get it. Here's the thing. You're going back to Zendikar. Just print the damn things.
Yeah, they need to be reprinted in a set that you can open them in booster packs.
Yeah. I mean, just do it. Just bite the bullet. I get it. And again, the reason is that, you know, the bigger stores that have Wizards Ear, like Star City Games, like a Channel Fireball, like, you know, these really big stores, they're probably, you know, like Scryfall and all this. They're like, hey, you know, we've bought these off of players who are looking to monetize their collection, and we spent this, and now I get you say that there isn't a secondary market, but you know there's a secondary market, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get it all. I understand it. I look at this whole set, and I go, again, you have found a way to grasp defeat from the jaws of Manus. It's like, you could have just said $100. I think it's the difference between the a $99 being like all five, $99. Okay, now it's $100. It's $108 for five pieces of cardboard. Mm-hmm. But you could sit there in your head and go, it's $99. But $150, that's literally the leap for me. It's like,
and it's not even $150. It's $165 at least.
So I'm sitting here going, that's the leap for me. And then I have to make sure that I don't know how stores are going to decide who gets them. You know, I work a full-time job, so do I have to like win some contest to be able to buy? Like, what happens here? Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, that'd be a heck of a prize support. Hey, you win some fetch lands.
So I don't know what the answer is here. I don't know what they can do.
Reprint.
But I mean, it is coming out there. You definitely, if you don't have an LGS, go find one. If you're in the capital region, I have a few recommendations. Kerwin's Game Store, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, like that they're doing it to the LGSs primarily. Yeah, that yeah. Keep it up, especially now. They should all go LGS right now.
It's the minusculest, tiniest baby step in the right direction that they're even putting the fetch lands in a secret lair that will be available later in the year. I wish there was a way to make it more affordable, because if they had reprinted them beforehand, we wouldn't have to worry about them being $165, because they would have only been like $15 a piece. You pay $70, you get all five, boom, done.
They would have been Shocklands.
I'd rather pay Shockland prices for Fetchlands than that, you know?
And again, I understand it's five of them. And if they printed the Shocklands in a five-card set, it would be about $150 for a full five cards. I get it. Because they're about, well, the...
It depends on which ones.
Brady Pool is 25. The
Steam Vents pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, the black, white, but there's
the blue ones.
Yeah.
It's the blue ones.
Yeah. It's really, and the green ones.
Yeah, the blue and the green ones are the ones that people want to get. But yeah, anyway,
moving on from that. So definitely look out for that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But with that, we're going to go ahead and end tonight's show.
Is there something
else we got to deal with? I don't show nothing in our sheet right here.
Just... let me set the stage for you, my
friend. Dear God. What is this, story time now?
It's story time. We're going to story time, boys and girls. So, a lot of you, if you've been listening to us since the beginning, We've made several references over the last year and change to 52 to 1. Normally, I'll say that to Benson as a way to shut him up.
Does it work, though? No.
Most times, well.
Because then I say, not until episode 52.
Or just, you know, which is you're an asshole or something along those lines.
I don't say those type of words. I never say foul language on this podcast.
Ding. Asterisk.
Yeah. Explicit this week, boy. So
what that is, we're finally going to tell you what that's about. You have to go back all the way to June 1st, 2018. Benson and I had just started playing.
What was that? Sorry.
We have been playing tournaments together for a little while, and we went to, it was Flights of Fantasy for a Dominaria limited event. And it was a Friday Night Magic type of thing. And it was one of the first times that Benson had brought the students along with him. And so the last couple of times before that we had played in any kind of event, we'd been paired together, and I had won, I think, a couple of those. I think you might have won one.
Yeah, I've won a couple. It was back and forth.
So round three of this tournament, we get paired against each other. And I think we're both close to the top tables at this point because I was 2-0. I think you were 2-0 as well. So we were close to the top tables, and this was Dominaria was the format. So the game's going along. It's sort of back and forth for a while.
I drafted Dominaria really well. Every time I played Dominaria draft, I did all right.
For those of you on camera, you're not really going to be able to see it too well, but then Benson plays this card right here, Primordial Worm, which is a 7/6 for 6 mana, which I was like, oh, that's a big dude. I don't have any real, you know, I had some guys on the ground to block him, but not too much, and everything's fine. But then he casts this card on Sarah's Wings, which is a legendary aura that gives the creature +1/+1, flying, vigilance, lifelink, and makes it legendary. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm dead. I am so dead. So he proceeds to smash my face in.
Good night, everybody. That's our show.
He was smashing my face in with this thing for several turns.
Yes.
And I was able to get a couple of little minor blockers out just to sort of chump, chump, chump. It got to the point where he was up on life to me 52-1. I was dead on the next attack. So I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I played a Academy Drake to block it. Then I played a Cloudreader Sphinx to block it. Now, when Cloudreader Sphinx comes into play, you scry too.
Right.
So I scryed, and the second card that I scryed and put to the top of my deck was this card right here, in Bolas's Clutches. So what happened on the next turn? I stole that damn worm from him and then proceeded to take his life all the way back down from 52. It was the greatest comeback I had ever seen personally or on camera in Magic, and every chance I get, I remind him of that.
It's a fake news. Fake news. That didn't happen.
Anytime he gets out of line, I just be like, hey, Benson. He's like, yeah, what? 52-1.
Nerd!
And it works every time.
Well, it was one of those. I actually thought this was a night when we were playing. I thought we were playing at work because I thought it was a god. Like, I thought it was the horses I was running with that day.
It was a Primordial Worm with an on Sarah's Wings, and yep. I was scrambling to get blockers, and I was buying so much time, and it was just, if the situations were reversed, we both would have been saying that this was one of the greatest games we would have ever played. You were on the wrong end of it, I was on the right end of it, but if it was reversed, it would have been the same thing. And I'm sure that, like, a lot of the listeners and viewers have had moments like that.
Yeah.
I would love to hear about them.
I would.
Send us email.
I don't need to hear about it.
Yeah, send us emails about, like, your great comeback stories.
Yes, your great comeback stories, not your great beats. We don't need to hear about that. Because
comebacks. If you were down, look, you were dead the next turn, and you got exactly what you needed to turn it around.
Listen, I get it, okay? I do. I get it. I understand. But, you took it too far. Because here's the thing, guys. Aramis, he's kind of soft-selling it a little bit. Because let's fast forward. That was July 2018, right? June 2018?
June 1st, yep.
Yep. Let's fast forward, you know, 2 years and 6 weeks. It's a wonderful July day, and the birds are singing, and your favorite host on this show is getting married to his lady fair, the young Miss Wendy, now Benson. And I'm sitting there, and Aramis decides to give me my wedding present. Now, what do you give at a wedding? You know, tend to give, you know, we did register, but, you know, not too many places. And Aramis, you know, I knew he wasn't going to do it. I figured, you know, yeah, go ahead, buy a box of cards. That'd be great. You know, like, I don't know what he's getting. But no, I proceed to open the gift from Aramis. And Aramis decided to give me two personal checks written to me and Wendy for the amount of $52.01. And two of them, so it was $104.02, but $52.01. That is too far. Shit, that was the funniest shit. I had to tell Wendy the story. You made me have to tell the story.
And that's exactly why I did it, because I knew that if I didn't force you, you were never going to speak of it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've controlled this podcast with an iron fist. It was my idea. I was like, and from day one, I'm like, we're not telling that story. You know what? We can tell that story on episode 52, because I never thought we'd get this far.
Yep.
So here we are, episode 52. Yay, I'm glad to be here. Son of a gun. So... woohoo! We were celebrating.
It was a great game, though. I mean,
it was a good
game. You had me dead to rights. Oh. I had no business winning that game.
No, it was, and everybody said the same thing. They're like, "Oh, that was a lucky turn of cards."
Very,
I mean, the minute you
cards.
Took it too, I'm like, "Son of a."
Well, and the thing is, too, is that your deck at that point decided to go, "Nope, we're done. Forget it." Because I think you drew like four lands in a row.
Yeah, I
got
anything
else.
I was trying to find some way to bounce it. And I had it.
You had
it was
answers.
Dominaria.
You had Blink of an Eye. Yeah, you had Blink of an Eye.
I had Blink of an Eye. I think it was Blink of an Eye. And I think I was about to draw it.
I think it was like one or two cards down after I killed you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, no, it was the next card down after you killed me. I was like, turn, I could have got it back. Yeah, it would have lost the enchantment, but I'd have got it back.
Yep.
Oh, I was pissed. I'm still pissed.
Well, now you don't have to ever hear about it ever again.
Yes, I'm sure we'll never hear of it ever again. I'm sure you will not use it in the way you have, sir. You've restrained yourself so wonderfully before.
I will never use 52-1 again, at least not until the next time.
Right, exactly. So with that being said, let's go ahead and crack open the email bag, because we're getting towards the end of the show. And we do have some emails from the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure how these came in. These are really kind of cool. It says note from in the email. And I'm not sure if it's coming through, like, if it's coming through maybe the Anchor website or something. But it's kind of cool. But we have a couple of emails in here. So the first one is from CJ Penumbra. And he said, fun question. If you could be a planeswalker for a week, who would you be?
Yeah, you take that one first.
If I could be a Teferi, duh.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, because of the whole time travel thing.
Then again, I might do,
or Jace.
I love Dovin Bond, his first card, because it's just a dick.
Mm.
Okay. It's like, okay. Yeah, you only get to untap two lands. That's it. But definitely that. And then his serious question was, what color is the best monocolor deck in standard for the month of March 2020? Without fail, it's red.
Red.
You can't beat red. Nobody can beat
red.
It's,
although, I mean, it's not monocolor, but I will say there is an Azorius Blink deck that is starting to make some noise.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting
Vasa,
idea.
Agent of Treachery.
I told you, though, somebody's going to start to figure out it's the I Steal Your Stuff deck.
It's starting to pop up. I do have a list up for you. It's got Deputy of Detention, Fibblethip, Charming Prince, Cavalier of Dawn. Some good stuff. Obviously,
style.
Teferi.
It's your style too.
Yeah, it looks interesting. So I'm gonna take a look at this, because I have four Thassas.
You do have four. So do I.
Yeah, I'd have to pick up the Fibblethips, I think, and the Princes. But
I think you have Fibblethips. I've seen you play with them.
Yeah, but I need four.
Oh. Okay.
But for monocolored, red.
Yeah, monocolored, no doubt. So our next one was Jason. He sent this in last Tuesday on the 10th. So, you know, this one we didn't miss. And he said he just wanted to reach out. Great show. Started listening on episode 1 the other day and just listening to them all. New player of Arena, though I started collecting cards for the art, now, however, took my two boys to our local comic shop here in Missouri tonight and caught some kids playing, picked up a couple of packs of War of the Spark and 2020 boosters. By the way, I said Missouri for you, Jason, because I'm assuming if you're from Missouri that you like to hear it called Missouri. So, heard y'all speaking on the War of the Spark and started grabbing packs on Arena for those and got some good ones. It's weird. I get the gist of the game. I brew some decks here and there, and, well, now I want to get into paper. That said, no real question. You guys are hilarious and keep it going, guys. Casual for the casual. A card I picked up tonight in Arena, I'll listen to first on your podcast. And he has a Twitter thing there. It says, nice card to pull from a pack. Yet the three-color deck, not yet in my playing. Brewing some home decks, listening to several podcasts. And he advertises us. It was the Nickel Bolas.
Nickel Daddy's always good to have.
Yeah. And he's saying he's curious about the dinosaur barbecue, though. Sounds delicious. Grubhub to Missouri. Yeah, dinosaur's amazing, and I love it. I miss home. Damn it, I miss home. I actually emailed my aunts and uncles today, and I was like, that was something I mentioned. I'm like, listen, y'all out here in the capital region, it's like, y'all a bunch of healthy people. Like, I need to go home where I can get, like, a garbage plate. Which I can't have anymore because it'll tear me up. But, I mean, just, you know, the barbecue is better there. The chicken wings are better there. We have a plate that's called a garbage plate, which is nothing more than macaroni, then hot sauce, then hamburgers, then hot sauce, then cheese, then hot sauce, then french fries on top of it, then hot sauce. And then, you know, maybe a hot dog, then hot sauce. And it's amazing. It sounds horrible. And my wife is one of those people who can't have her food touching. This would send her into fits. Damn it, do I love it.
It's a Western New York thing. Well, especially a Rochester.
Yeah, it's a very much a Rochester thing.
I have not had a garbage plate. I used to work with someone from Rochester, and she told me about the garbage plate, and I will have myself a garbage plate at some point. But here's the thing. You said it tears you up. Just get yourself a hotel room and just let the magic happen.
No. It's just the hot sauce. Like, I will...
Well, don't they do it with gravy, too?
They do, but it's not the same. I'm a purist, man. Listen, Okay. Here's the funny thing. A little aside here. Welcome to Tangent, you know, Plain Stalkers podcast. They opened a Nick Tahoe's in Oswego when I was there for college. All right. Cool. Fun. I loved it, man. I was going to get garbage plates regularly. Now, it wasn't downtown. It wasn't the same, but it was there. And it, all right, if you had a few pops.
Close enough.
If you had a few pops, you could tell yourself it was the same. So, great. Wonderful. Glad to be there. I ran into Alex Tahoe, who owns the place, at a family event. My ex-wife's cousin was married to his stepdaughter. So I ran into him, and we talked, and I'm like, yeah, man, I remember when you guys were in Oswego. I was like, he's like, yeah, we had to close it up in 97. I was like, or the fall of 96. I'm like, yeah, I graduated spring of 96. He's like, yeah, that's probably why. He's like, there was a sharp, he did too. He's like, for some reason, there was a big sharp decline right between the spring and fall of 96.
You monster.
Well, it was me and Tony Waddy and a few other friends of mine back home. I mean, you know, guys from Rochester. And he's like, yep, yeah, we had to close that thing down. So,
it's local delicacies. I mean, garbage plate. I want to be able to have one. So one day.
Yep.
One day we will get one.
So, and Walter emailed us. He's our Plain Stalker patron. And usually we read those first. But, you know, I didn't tonight because I'm insane. But, you know, I'm just going to paraphrase his. Listen, guys, if we want to think about COVID-19 and how it's impacting people, not that I want to end the show on a down note again. I mean, he's actually dealing with it. He's, you know, he's actually quarantined at a medical facility because, you know, a guest there checked in with, with COVID. And
yeah, so he's fine.
He's fine. And they're doing it as a precaution. But. Like, this is impacting people in a very real way. So, you know, Walter, we just want to say our thoughts are with you, man. My prayers are with you. And Aramis's, you know, thoughts and prayers. No, I'm just kidding. But thoughts and prayers are totally with you, man. I know that's cheesy to say, but that's all I can say. You know, you guys, and it's not just our patrons. If any of you are out there dealing with this whole thing, you know, we're with you, man. And, you know, if there's anything we can do here as a show, which, I mean, we're just entertainment. You know, we're going to do it. This is the last we're going to deal with COVID unless there's some major outbreakage stuff.
It's just like, I'll just say that there's only so much you can do to protect yourself. If you get it, it's the sucky thing. If you get it, you get it.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with it.
Yep.
But just do what you can. Stay safe, you know, and if you get it, just hide for 2 weeks. We love you, but we don't want to see you until you get better.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do a podcast. We don't need to see you. So we could see you on camera. Hi.
Tinfoil hat time. What if the germs come through the earbuds? That's a scary thing.
No. That only happened. Never mind. We're not going to discuss that. So anyway, moving on. I was alive for the HIV epidemic of the 80s. So they weren't so sure about how that was working. we actually also, as you guys know, we talk about it. We do have an iTunes contest every month, an iTunes review contest. I actually have three, like right now. So people have been going nuts. So here, if you don't know what it's about, every month we do a drawing for some cards. We'll send you an arena code to get three packs. So what we'd like you to do is all you have to do is go on to your handy dandy iPhone or iTunes on your computer. Leave us a review in iTunes. Any number of stars is fine, but five is better because it will make the show a little more visible. And it's working because if you go look for Standard MTG right now in iTunes, we're the number one thing that comes up. So, and that's all because of you guys. So thank you for that. It does get eyes on the show. That's why we have the contest. Please go and leave us reviews. But what we've got here is Mark W.I. says, interesting dialogue, great discussion. Stay current with Standard, banning products, news, and beyond. These guys have fun, casual conversation about Magic. March 5th, NXJ PCS said, best MTG pod, hands down. And then...
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, I do too. Tuesday, WDL 1017, and Walter's initials are WL, says, was in a Facebook group and stumbled upon this podcast, and it is definitely one of my favorite outlets to get news and updates in the world of Magic. Will and Aramis, more Will than Aramis, after all, Will is definitely better looking and far more charming, are awesome, very friendly, and willing to help out anyone that has questions. So if you are a vet or a newcomer or even someone that's just getting back into Magic like me, then this podcast is for you. XX Goodfella 83 Walt. So thank you guys for all of that. We do appreciate it.
I question the accuracy of parts.
I might have embellished a little bit. I might have embellished 52 syllables,
or one.
So
yeah,
but you know, with that, let's go ahead and get right into about the 106 mark. So. And we're going to go to end step. We're going to start picking up our cards, putting them in their boxes, rolling up the play mats, grabbing our pizza boxes, putting them by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work at this store. But we want to remind you that both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planeswalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers podcast. We're going to have a lot more content there over the coming weeks. Both of our patrons are going to send us the cards and stuff, where to get things put together, and we'll probably... You know, with the lack of Friday Night Magic, we may try to find some way to do something. So you can follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73, but I'll be honest with you. If I'm Twitching, since I have the credentials, I log into Planeswalkers. So that's where you're going to find a lot of our stuff.
Yeah, I usually when I stream, I make sure that I simulcast what I'm doing on the Planeswalkers podcast channel. But if you wanted to follow me individually on Twitch, my name there is RMECWRX. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to keep up with the show that way, you can find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And let's be honest, I mean, I'm really only on there to follow the music career of William Hung, that guy from American Idol back in the early 2000s. She bangs! Oh, baby! Look him up if you don't know what I'm talking about. He's incredible.
My poor ears.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. So, I mean, I don't tweet out much, but of course, you know, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Planeswalker, not Planeswalkers, Planeswalker, the last S you keep off for savings, and like and follow our page. And that's where we do this thing with the live streaming. So,
yes, we are on Facebook when we do the live show. Most people listen to it afterwards, but this is where you can catch us live.
Absolutely.
And see all of the great production value that goes into this.
Yes. Thank you, Be Live.
Yes. Thank you, Be Live. Finally, you can send us emails like you've been doing, which is great, and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. You can also send us an email just to let us know how we're doing. If, you know, you're going to leave a review and maybe you want to run it by us first, or just want to say, hey, I have a suggestion for a show, this is where you would do that. And our email address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And by the way, I'm actually hosting another podcast on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. You can find me there. I'm one of three hosts on there. I get to sit in the third seat, so I'm not like the main host, which means I just get to be wild and outrageous. So, you know, you definitely tune in on that. We tend to record Sundays. You can find us there on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. Like I said, we've already read our iTunes reviews. Guys, go leave them there. We're going to make the drawing at the end of the month. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be, you know, and if you don't win, you're always still in it. So you're in it until you win it. So please leave us reviews in iTunes. Let us know what you think. But with all of that, for Aramis Perez, we're going to start getting ourselves out of here. We'll be back next Monday night, regular time, right around 7 o'clock, bringing you all the news and new stuff that we can talk about. Listen, again, not to bring it down, be safe out there. Keep yourselves together. Be with your families. Spend some time. Play some arena. Do whatever you got to do. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for being listeners. We appreciate you guys. And we want to remind you to always leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you need it. Take care.